It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.
Well, the baseball season is about to begin. No baseball games today, no spring training games. But the story is Ohtani and what happens there. So there's lots to talk about. And Hodge and Perkins will join us, Shannon, and we'll do that today.
You know, the how do you feel the coverage? The Ohtani thing we'll deal with Perk and Hodge. Where's your interest level in the start of baseball season this year, Bob?
Pretty high,
it
I
is?
Guess. Yeah. Maybe a bit more than normal. I don't know why, but
yeah.
Maybe I'm anxious for spring to be here and to get outside more.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's different this year than last, and I was more excited about last year. And perhaps so much was the way that the team was hyped last year. The stadium was hyped last year. We're going through the second phase of the stadium reno this spring, so hopefully that'll be.
I could care less about the stadium.
Bob, it creates interest. And it creates discussion. And the discussion this year about the stadium has not been near as positive as last year. And that conversation at the Tim Hortons when you're talking about baseball. Last year it was, well, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to going and see what the stadium looks like. I don't hear that this much this year. And then I think the concerns about the pitching this year, there have been more injuries in spring training, Bob, than they had all last season.
Yeah, I don't think the pitching situation is nearly as bad as people project. I think that the Blue Jays have depth in the starting pitching rotation, or will have in a month or two, and I think that will serve them well.
Okay, well, we're going to check in with our
Hodge and Perkins coming up.
Our baseball guys, Dave Hodge and Dave Perkins, on the McCowan Podcast after this.
Hi, this is Bob McCowan for BetRivers.com. Hey, if you're looking for a sports book or casino app, you should check out the BetRivers Sports and Casino app today. Play all of your favorite casino games for real money anywhere and anytime. Plus, get in the action with each sports game with hundreds of sports betting options. And get ready to feel like a VIP, because you'll earn both loyalty level points and bonus store points on every real money wager you make. You must be 19 plus, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, contact Connex Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 or speak to an advisor free of charge. BetRivers.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. McCowan and Shannon, joined by the two Daves, Hodge and Perkins. The Major League Baseball season kicks off, or what does it do? It
restarts.
Takes off. What does it do?
Restarts.
Yeah, no, I was. It starts in earnest. Starts in earnest in North America. How's that? Tomorrow, Thursday, the 28th. But before we talk about that, that's not the biggest story in baseball. There's this little issue about the most expensive player, the best player, and his involvement in some level of a gambling scandal. Dave Perkins, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, what did all these leagues think was going to happen once they got in bed with gambling? It's just going to keep jumping up like it has in the NBA. It's jumping up like it has in baseball. This whole Ohtani thing, I'd hate to be Rob Manfred, because, you know, the rush will be on to clear him as soon as they can of anything. But my guess would be that nobody, no matter how good a guy he is, gives a friend $4.5 million and nine times half a million, nine separate instances of half a million, because the friend is losing money. Let's put it that way. I think that this poor Ippy, and I wish I was Ippy's bookmaker, but I think Ippy's just the gunsel here. But we will see. I expect Ohtani to be cleared any moment now. But it's a terrible look for baseball. Dave Hodge?
Well, I tuned into the MLB Network to see the feed of Ohtani's so-called press conference. And when it was over, the MLB Network said he was shocked, saddened, and totally believable. End of story. Let's play ball.
Of course.
To say the least, I did not have that impression, have not had that impression of this since it began. And these investigations, MLB, IRS, FBI, LA Dodgers, Ohtani's representatives, they all better come out with the same conclusion, or this is going to hang over Major League Baseball and Shohei Ohtani and the LA Dodgers for the season, maybe forever. I think already they have been affected. Ohtani has not looked like himself at the plate. I know it's only spring training. How many times are we going to say that? But I think it's reasonable to assume that this team is going to wear this until they can somehow shed it. And let's not forget that in addition to the $700 million that the Dodgers spent on Ohtani, there's another 325 or 50 whatever on Yamamoto, who gave them one inning of horrible work in Seoul, South Korea. So they got over $1 billion invested in two Japanese players who have big question marks beside their names before the season has started.
The question for me is, sorry, Perk. The question for me is, what do you do about Pete Rose? Regardless of what they find in Ohtani.
Rose has been on the back burner for years, and he'll stay there. And I think I said a couple of years ago, a good guy in MLB, high up in MLB, whom I knew very well, said, look, if Pete Rose gets in the Hall of Fame, it'll be after he's dead, because MLB would not give him the satisfaction of signing a ball, Pete Rose, HOF. That they will never do that. And I said, well, the difference is Pete's probably got a whole warehouse of balls already signed like that, that his descendants will get the money from. The other thing about Ohtani is the story's already changed, right? Like it came from, he's my friend. He gave me all this money because he's a good guy, to, well, I guess I stole from him. And his lawyers say, oh yes, he was a victim of a crime and we've reported it, except they haven't reported it. Nobody is investigating any allegations of theft. And then when Ohtani has his, you know, the Dodgers give him a press conference yesterday, they don't allow any questions. I mean, they didn't even allow photographers in the room, but they don't allow any questions. And now they're refusing to answer any questions, as agents, as lawyers, everybody, about, well, what's the status of the criminal investigation on this alleged theft? Like, it's such horseshit. It's all horseshit, and they're making it up, and they want, you know, as David pointed out, MLB's reaction, MLB Network's reaction to be, oh, he must be true. That it's all over. Nothing to see here, folks. I mean, it's crazy.
I get Bob's Pete Rose query a little differently. Bobby's too old, and all he can do is hit. So I don't think he's the answer to the Dodgers' problems. No, but seriously, they got, you know, they have to, yes, they have to deal with whatever this problem is for the sport, for the team, for the player, for the fans. And then they have to look far and wide into the past to see how they've treated every other such example.
But Dave Hodge, put this in context for lots of people who maybe not understand the game as well as some of you guys. How does this compare to Houston sign stealing? How does this compare to steroids? How does this compare to any of the other situations baseball seems to have put itself in the last 20 to 25 years?
It doesn't, because it involves perhaps the greatest player in the game's history. Probably the best known athlete, and we're going to hear from soccer fans, but perhaps the biggest sports celebrity in the world. If it was anybody else, it would still be a big issue. But it's Shohei Ohtani. And entering this season, you know that anything Shohei Ohtani did, if he hit a homer, if he struck out, if he stole a base, was going to be headline news. Instead, this is the Shohei Ohtani headline news. So I don't think it compares to anything else.
Perfect. The only possibility is, depending what you believe about Michael Jordan's hiatus from basketball, you know, the rumor was always out there that he was suspended, you know, for gambling, and that's why he went to baseball for a couple of years. But I mean, you know, Jordan is a well-known gambler, a out-of-control gambler on things. Phil Mickelson was the biggest name as there was in golf, and he was not a control gambler. Right, he got into all kinds. Nothing happened to him except the Saudis gave him, you know, a few $100 million to keep playing golf. Like, so big guys can weather these storms because everybody wants them to weather the storm.
But then what is interesting here to me is that we are talking about three or four of the biggest athletes in the world,
right,
that have this cloud hanging over them. It's not some middle infielder, you know, who's making $400,000 a year or whatever. These are big, big stars, right?
But why
are we only catching the big stars?
But Bob, to Perk's point, I don't think it's really hurt Michael Jordan's image.
No.
Has it? I mean, so can baseball and Ohtani weather the storm?
Well, really here's the if the storm involves criminal charges and the rumors go away and are replaced by facts, then that's what makes this different than anybody else's gambling proclivities, be they true or hearsay, whatever. This is an investigation into fraud, theft, illegal gambling, and it's an investigation that started before any of these things came public. So they were looking for something before these guys started changing their story. And you're right, Perk, if there was only one version of this, if the first thing we heard was Shohei Ohtani saying, my longtime friend, 365-day-a-year companion, my mouthpiece, has stolen $4.5 million and he's been fired, and he's being investigated and charges will be brought. If that's all we ever heard about this, we could say, well, let's see if we believe it. But the versions of stories and the way that this thing unfolded have to make you scratch your head. If not, say, I don't believe anybody.
Right.
Well, I'm wondering, is there in the state of journalism in North America today, because that's another story for another day, the state of journalism, Dave Perkins, are there enough independent journalists to follow the trail? Are there enough people out there that won't buy into what Major League Baseball says or what the Dodgers or what Ohtani says?
I think there are, but it's going to be awfully tough to prove anything when everybody else is closing ranks and everybody's so willing to obviously lie and go from there. Well, there's one other angle to this. Look at the bullet the Blue Jays dodged. They were happy to spend the almost $1 billion Canadian on this guy, right? And got out pulled. Now imagine if Ohtani were here in Dunedin, Florida today with the Blue Jays and all this hit the fan. How would things look? What do you think the IRS would do? I mean, the IRS is investigating now for whatever tax, implications there are here. What do you think MLB would do if Ohtani was a Japanese national playing for a Canadian team? How do you think the story would change then?
Actually, I don't think it would change much, to be honest, because it's all based on residency, isn't it? And we all know that in order to solve the Canadian tax issues, most of them aren't permanent residents of our country.
I get it, but But I'm just saying, would the focus be different if he were playing for somebody other than the LA Dodgers?
Well, but the other part of that, Dave, is that you know, gambling is not, sports betting is not legalized in California, right. and it is here, and it is in Florida. So,
Florida, Texas, California, and Florida. I think of the three big states that don't have it. Maybe
I stand corrected.
Texas, but for sure. California.
You ought to know, Perk.
Well, I haven't known Florida rules, so you know.
Listen. If that's your spin on the Blue Jays season before it begins tomorrow, the good news is they didn't sign Shohei Ohtani.
Then
we're gonna actually, if that's the case, we're gonna wonder where Dave's cashing checks from. That's where we're going to.
I want to wait for the second best thing that's happened over. As far as John, you're talking about how much the media is going to chase this. Listen, ESPN had Ipe on the phone for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. None of us has ever done a 90-minute interview with anybody for any reason. Can you imagine what is in that interview and who gets to know about it or see it or hear it, and how much evidence there is there. So if they were digging that hard, and perhaps the LA Times was involved, some people say yes or no, every media outlet is going to want to try. I mean, it's too bad NBC doesn't have Ron and McDaniel if they can.
Holy, how did
you know?
No, what a jump! What a jump!
Because if you want somebody who knows about lying, there you go.
I'll tell you what, I think we need to take a break. we've taken a gargantuan Hodge leap. From baseball to gambling to politics, I think it's time to get back to baseball. We'll talk about opening day for the Jays and a few other stories in and around the 30 teams after this on the McCowan Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back. The two Daves, Hodge and Perkins, with McCowan and Shannon. All right, boys. The Jays open in Tampa on Thursday afternoon. Expectations, Dave Hodge?
Well, I mean, we could spend all of our time saying it's only spring training, so why bother trying to analyze what was going on there? But I think you can get some sense of what might lie ahead. For example, the Blue Jays are going to rise or fall when they're batting based on the performance of the first three guys in the order, Springer, Bichette, and Guerrero, and they were three of the best spring training hitters in the majors. So that has to be a positive sign for the Jays. On the negative side, their strength a year ago was pitching. Excellent health was a significant factor, and here we are. Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson are missing from the bullpen. A rookie, Bowden Francis, is in the rotation. And I think there's still a question mark beside Kikuchi's name. And then there's the matter of the limited offseason activity. Did they do enough to patch the holes? So good for the first three guys to be as good as they were in the spring. And if they can carry that on. But the question marks remain.
Kirk?
Well, I would say that the best thing that happened to the Jays in the last 6 months has been Gerrit Cole's MRI. They've done nothing to help themselves. They're not as strong as last year. Their under-over win total is down 4 from last year. Not that that's everything, but it's a pretty good indicator. the defense is going to be much worse. I think Bichette, who was getting to be an okay shortstop, is seriously going to miss having Chapman beside him at third base defensively. As Dave points out, the health is awful. The best two relievers are down. They're starting the season on a very difficult schedule, right? Tampa, Houston, New York, and then I think Seattle at the home opener. There's three playoff teams and the Yankees. They're doing this without their starting catcher, Jansen, without their two best arms in the bullpen. Question marks beside Gausman. Yeah, so it could be a tough start for them. I think, once again, that by doing nothing, the Jays move forward in some areas. Like there's an all-star team worth of pitching on the DL right now, right? Like it's not just Cole, it's Scherzer and Verlander and Sonny Gray, left the division. He's on the DL. And the Red Sox give Giolito $40 million and he's out for the year. And I think Texas or somebody, Arizona, give Rodriguez $80 million and he's out for the year. You know what I mean? Like there's a million pitchers who good pitchers who are missing. So in some respects that mitigates a little bit of the Jays' health issue with their arms, but it's about...
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, the thing about the Blue Jays pitching, we know that last year was, we were awakened by the fact that they were very healthy all year, as healthy as they could be. And they probably won't be as healthy this year. But last year, the Blue Jays had no depth in the starting pitching. They had nobody that they could really recall or call up that they thought would be any good. They do this year, I think. I think they are probably 8 or 9 deep. I don't know what those guys will be able to do, but they are potentially decent pitchers. And I think that will be an advantage for them. The injuries in the bullpen, well, they happen. I don't think either one of them are serious. So it'll be some time, but not a lot of time. They'll get that sorted out. The issue for me is Joey Votto and what happens with him. And can he play again? And can he be decent enough? Because, Shannon will tell you that I've told the story before. My answer to this is, put Votto at first base and move Guerrero back to third. Now, I know Guerrero is not a great third baseman, but he's had a couple of years of first base fielding ground balls. He hasn't looked bad. So I think at least from an offense point of view, if not a defense point of view, that would be the answer. But that relies on Votto being, a decent player again. And I'm not sure that that's possible.
Well, I think Perk is right to examine the Blue Jays' chances by looking at the competition. And you do this every year. I think I would sum it up by saying Baltimore should win the East, Houston or Texas the West, and somebody has to win the Central Division. So
somebody.
It doesn't matter, but I don't think there'll be a wild card team out of that division. So the Houston Texas second place finisher plus two other wild card spots. I don't think the Twins, Tigers, whatever, are going to claim one of them. So that leaves the rest of the East, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Rays, and the Jays, plus probably Seattle from the West, 4 or 5 teams battling for those two spots. Now, I'm going to reduce the number.
So basically no different than last year, right, Dave?
Well, yeah, I think it will be. I'm going to say what I always say, that Tampa Bay isn't good enough. And one of these years, I'll be right. If I'm wrong again, then Kevin Cash is the reincarnation of Joel McCarthy, who won 7 World Series titles before any of us was born, in case the audience is wondering who the hell Joe McCarthy was. But Kevin Cash can't perform miracles. I know he's a great manager, and Tampa Bay wouldn't be what it has been without him. But I think this is the year that their roster plays like it looks. So if it turns out that the Jays are fighting with the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Mariners for two playoff spots, I'm giving one of them to the Jays.
Wow. That's generous.
Well, no, I am too, by the way.
I don't think so.
For what it's worth.
You are? You are, McCowan?
Yes, I am.
I thought we talked last week they were going to have 81 wins.
I didn't say that at no time.
Okay.
At no time did I say 81 wins.
You said between 70 and 90, and last I checked, 80's in the middle.
Well, 81, I never mentioned 81.
What was it? 89 was good enough last year to be one game ahead of the Mariners. And John, you might be quite right. It could play out exactly that way.
I want to know on this Jays roster, who's of the new guys, who's under the biggest pressure? Like, is it Justin Turner? Is it IKF? Who's going to be, by the time we get to the summertime, saying, boy, he didn't deliver what he was supposed to do? Is there somebody that's come into this club that needs to actually reach the potential? Perk, any thoughts?
I think the biggest upside guy is Rodriguez, the Cuban pitcher. Jays used 9 starters last year, as Bob was saying. They used 9 starters, which was the low for MLB. They're going to use, I suspect, more than 9 this year. Everybody's going to need pitching, especially early with the bullpen beaten up and the starters not stretched out. They're going to go through a ton of pitching early. So I think this Rodriguez guy, they give him $32 million, not that money matters, but I think this guy has the most potential. I think the other guys are just guys who are filling spots. And if it's not Ernie Clement, it's Davis Schneider, it's just, they're just guys, but who are there to help the team. But I think this Rodriguez got some upside.
Well, John asked about pressure. The pressure on Yariel Rodriguez is his contract. You know, he's got to live up to a 5-year deal. And right now he's in Buffalo trying to stretch out and pitch for the first time since the World Classic last year. So what he gives them, if he gives them what the 5-year contract suggests they think, then that's a bonus. I don't know that there's a lot of pressure otherwise on him or any other newcomer. John, all the pressure's on those first 3 guys that I talked about. They have to produce. And the most on Vladdy, probably. Then Springer, I would suggest, and Bichette, because he's the most consistent of the 3, or has been. Then I would rank him 3rd. But they all should feel pressure, and I don't think it exists anywhere else. I think if
what about Varsho?
Well,
I mean, there's an expectation that this guy's got to hit better than he did last year.
You know what my expectation is for Dalton Varsho in spring training? Again, it's only spring training. He stole 8 bases, 3 in 1 game. The rules have been changed to allow and provide and promote stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jays ignored those rules last year. And Dalton Varsho can be among the league leaders in stolen bases if they allow him to do that. Now, he's got to get on base. I know he's got to hit home runs. And if he does that, he doesn't have to steal any of the bases. But I would think that he's a weapon that they can use and should use. And so I'm going to place pressure on the manager, who I think feels it, you know, if we go off the field,
sure,
into the dugout, maybe he feels it more than Vladdy or anybody else. They've surrounded him with Don Mattingly and a new title and another associate coach, DeMarlo Hale. But, question marks around John Schneider the way the last 2 seasons have ended. And so I think he notably feels pressure too.
Kirk, what do you do about Alek Manoah?
Manoah? Send him down.
You remember him?
Send him down. He's got to prove to them that he deserves a chance. I mean, the mystery of last year, which was never solved, right? Like the Atkins, the GM, covered for him and you know, pretended he said or did nothing wrong and blah, blah, blah. It was all a giant misunderstanding. Well, we saw this spring, he there's something wrong, clearly. So send him down and see if he can work his way back. I mean, you don't write a guy off at that age, but, you know, he's got to prove to them. It's not the other way around. They owe him nothing, I would say.
Well, he's not healthy. Apparently, he wasn't then, and he isn't now. And he's, Buffalo's the place for him when he can pitch, because he's not going to jump right into the Jays rotation. But I get back to Bowden Francis, who, you know, impressed in long relief last year. And, you know, you can see some good things in him, but you're putting a rookie into the rotation and expecting him to produce. And there's a question mark around that. And if he doesn't, Yariel Rodriguez isn't ready yet. You know, you're going to start Mitch White.
You might have to.
Well, that's all I got. And the other question is, for a couple of weeks, that we assume that Romano and Swanson are going to be on the IL. All they've said is it's likely. Right. It hasn't been official yet. I haven't checked in the last 90 seconds. But, you know, what's the back of the bullpen look like? I mean, Garcia's going to close, and who's going to be the eighth inning guy? No. Cabrera? No. Green?
That's just it. West Parsons? Like, who knows?
Well, yeah. I'm going to say, don't, Bob, sit down, stay in your seat. But Nate Pearson.
Well, maybe. What about Tiedemann? Yeah.
Who?
Tiedemann's going to start in Buffalo, though, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I assume so, yeah. But still, he's a guy that I think will get called up this year. And maybe. I am optimistic about him.
Yeah, well, but, you know, he's starting. He's not going into the bullpen. So it takes time for him to build up to the point where.
Well, yeah, but he's already been in spring training. You know, Dave, he may not be in game shape ready yet, but he's pretty close. Well, he's like any other pitcher.
Yeah, no, he's, and if he's ready before Yariel, then sure. I guess they wouldn't hesitate to.
My point is, you've got a couple guys down there, maybe three guys, that theoretically would help this team as a starting pitcher. Would be decent enough. They didn't have that last year.
I don't know who they are, Bob.
Well,
they didn't need it last
year. Pardon?
They didn't need it last year.
No, I know. But they were lucky they didn't need it, right?
Right.
Okay, so if Rodriguez and Tiedemann are two of
the and guys Manoah. We're talking
about. And yeah, Manoah's nowhere near to be ready. Yeah, he's...
Yeah. But... It would be ironic if this team, because of Springer, Guerrero, and Bichette, hit like it was supposed to last year, and that became a strength of the team, and pitching, which was the obvious strength a year ago, became the biggest problem, and it, because of injuries or whatever. You know, we have to hope that the pitching isn't what holds the Jays down. You have to hope that you sit down, John, because I didn't think I'd wait this long. You have to hope Barrios can.
You beat me to it, because
more than 47 pitches, I'll say it.
How ironic is it that the man who got pulled in the last game is going to start the first game, probably?
Well, he's fresh.
He's ready.
But I noticed they're very consistent all spring training. All in all his spring training games, they pulled him in the fourth inning, just when he, no matter how he was doing.
So you've been saving that one, Perk.
Well, you know, what's amazing about this? And a good friend of mine, a baseball fan for 50 years, sent me a note the other day. He said, there's never been a more dislikable Blue Jay team than this one. And, you know, you start with the flailing general manager who's still pretending they did the right thing last year. You got the arrogant president of the team. You got ticket prices through the roof. You got the endless blue sky nonsense from the Rogers, you know, shills.
Yeah, but that's all off the field.
You've got the infantile first baseman who wants his jacket back when the last time we saw him, he was getting picked off second base to shoot the season behind the year in the playoffs. I mean, you got all this going for this team. They offered almost $1 billion to Ohtani, didn't get it. And the next day said, well, we like our team. Well, apparently they didn't the day before. So, I mean, don't give us all this stuff. Like, go out and prove it and go out and do something. Win some playoff games. You know what I mean? Like Bichette and Guerrero, 0 for the playoffs. They don't have a playoff win. You know, like, let's go. Let's stop talking, stop saying about we're proving people wrong and everything. Go out and do something. Go out and prove something instead of just yapping all the time. That's what I would say.
Less passionately, I would say what this team needs to be is and needs to demonstrate is that they are a good baseball team that can play the game the right way, make the right decisions, yep. use everything to their advantage. If it's stealing a base, if it's hitting and running, whatever. They have to look like a good baseball team, and that is what has been missing. And I think some of that's on the manager. I think most of it is on the players. And the attitude coming into this season is, you know, hey, we got a 39-year-old trusted veteran cleaning up after those three guys in the batting order. Justin Turner is going to be a positive. Well, he did drive in runs again in spring training. And they have, you know, nothing to lose with IKF trying to show that he can play regularly, which as he hasn't shown yet, but he's going to have that chance.
But he's going to end up at third base most of the time, don't you think?
I would think, yes. But, you know, Ernie Clement, they think is great for his versatility. I think they're disappointed that David Schneider didn't sort of grab the second base job. But just show us good baseball, and that'll be enough. You don't have to love the team when you leave if you've seen them play good baseball, and that's what I'm looking and hoping for, and what Jays fans I think have lacked the last few years.
A couple more for me before we let you go. How concerned should we be about Gausman? Any thoughts, Dave?
I don't think there's any evidence based on what he showed the other day.
Okay. We know that Hodge and McCowan now have the Jays in the second wild card perk. Where do you have them?
I think they can make it. I think the competition level is sliding. I think the Yankees have too many injuries. Boston has way too many injuries. I agree with David about Tampa. Every year they seem to do it with mirrors. So I guess I underestimate Tampa every year and they outperform. So maybe Tampa will be better. I mean, I think the Yankees are a fourth place team without Cole based on that pitching. So once again, I think Toronto has a terrific opportunity here. The American League Central is very, very weak, I think. I mean, a couple of teams would be better. Kansas City would be a little better maybe. And, you know, the Twins are okay, but, you know, you go into the West, it's going to be Seattle will be the competition. So I think Toronto can get into the playoffs this year, maybe even with 89 or 90 wins. I think it's possible.
Could I just say that all of us, I think, celebrate the fact that tomorrow is the quasi opening day for every other team, but the ones that were in South Korea. And so hooray for that. We celebrate the fact that there will be baseball all afternoon and all evening tomorrow. And I also think we should celebrate the fact that there will be no spring training games played today. Yeah. How tedious has this been? And surely they can shorten the spring training length because after a while, and the players have to be dragging into the regular season for all that they've been asked to do in the spring. So hooray. There's no baseball today, and hooray, there's a ton of baseball tomorrow.
And then the guys in the commissioner's office are saying there's no baseball today. All we're going to get is deluged with questions about Ohtani.
as As should be the case. And I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And Major League Baseball, as I say, their investigation had better line up with everybody else's, because if they try a whitewash and then it shows that that's not the way it was, then they got a problem, even though they're trying to get rid of one. And if their investigation does show factual information that laws were broken or skirted, whatever, then they got a bigger problem.
And of course, they could always get Claude Rains to play him in the movie. You know, Otani is shocked to discover that there's gambling going on.
Holy smokes. We've gone from Joe McCarthy to Claude Rains. This is great. David,
don't forget Ronnie McDaniel.
Oh, yeah. Dave Hodge, Dave Perkins, thank you for the day. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Bob and I'll be back after this on the McCowan Podcast. by the way, just to correct Dave Perkins, and I love doing that, there is legalized sports betting in Florida now as of February the 11th. So okay. I feel vindicated for three seconds. So and I'm going to ask you again. You're convinced that this team is making the playoffs, or no?
Blue Jays?
Yes.
Well, convinced, I don't know, but I feel they can, and they should. So I would bet on them. I think the over-under on wins is 87, right?
It's around there, yeah.
So I'd go over.
You really would, huh? I would.
I just have, and
I know as the guys talked about, the top three guys, Springer, Bichette, Guerrero.
Well, Hodge talked about them.
Well, so did Perk mentioned them too. So,
Springer is a guy who isn't going to produce a lot more than he did last year, I don't think. You know, we'd like to think he's a great player.
You need 25 home runs from him?
Well, you'd like to have them because you're not getting them from the other two outfielders, right?
Yeah. See, and as I mentioned to those guys, I think Dalton Varsho, to me, might be the catalyst to this team doing what it has to do. I think he has to hit better. They talked about what he was going to do on the base pads. That might be a factor. But I think Dalton Varsho has to be better at the plate for this team to have any chance for the playoffs. I really do. The other guys, because Springer, Guerrero, Bichette have been that cornerstone for a while now. And they barely.
Springer hasn't been a cornerstone. Come on, he's been a 250 hitter with 20 home runs.
Bob,
that's nice, but it's not star stuff.
I think George Springer's delivered for this organization what he was supposed to do.
He delivered defensively, but offensively he has not.
Okay, well, that's your opinion. I think Springer has been a factor. I think he's supposed to be a factor. And I think his leadership has helped this club too at times.
Well, maybe the last couple of years. I'll give you all those things.
Yeah.
But don't suggest that Springer offensively has been a big deal. He hasn't.
Gosh, how many?
He hasn't. Period.
How many leadoff home runs, Bob? I mean, he's been pretty good.
Give me all the stats you want, John. Run them all off. He has not been what you expected. You were hoping that Springer would be close to a 300 hitter. With 20 plus home runs. That's why they got him.
It's funny because.
And he hasn't been. What did he hit last year? 240, 250.
Yeah. But the thing with me is I don't see many 300 hitters in baseball anymore because it's become such a strikeout sport.
Well,
I think
Springer is going to be a key to this team. He is just a guy.
He was 250. By the way, 258 last year. So, if he hits 260 and 25 home runs and 80 to 90 RBIs,
I'll be happy.
Yeah, exactly. That's good cornerstone stuff. So, all right. Another show tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for listening and watching the McCowan Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.